The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And we're back, and John Knox is still on the line. And Jennifer, you had a comment that you wanted to make about
going to the Board of Rights. I'd love to see the public show up to support the firefighters at the Board of Rights hearing, but I want to let you know the intel at City Hall is you have to show up with a negative COVID test. So don't be surprised.
Is that a home test or a...
I think you have to... Yeah, I think it would be... I don't know what it is. Are you going to show them the little thing? I don't know. I'm just saying that's what they're
asking
people.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was my pregnancy test. So, I'm not pregnant.
So don't go all the way down there and then be surprised and turned away. Mm. That is still the rule there at City Hall.
Well, and you know...
Which is entertaining because they lifted all those regulations last year. So why,
why are they still doing
it,
right?
Abundance of caution for the greater good. Our common welfare should come first. So, John, people are being very creative. They came up with a website called How Bad Is My Batch? And so I looked. And so, I was one of those people that got vaccinated back in 2021, took two for the team. And
Team wifey?
Yeah. So I put in, my first jab was Pfizer, and I had to scroll through it, but I found the batch number, and it showed how many people have had severe after effects, how many people have died.
Of course, you registered the fact you have no feeling in your left arm,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just like that. And then for the second jab, I put in the batch number, and it said manufacturer unknown. So what the heck is that?
China?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking.
I haven't seen that, or I haven't heard anybody that come across that.
Yeah, well, that site is howbadismybatch.com, and I pulled it up just now, and you can click and put in the number from your little vax card and see if you have what's called a hot lot, where many more, and you can see this in the VAERS data as well on openvaers.com, openvaers.com, where you can see lot numbers that have a greater instance of adverse reactions.
Yep, and I just posted the website on the Facebook live stream. So if anybody wants to check their card, they can do so. So, John, it's hard to believe we've been at this. My card says 2021. I think probably a red flag would have been when, we waited in line over at Pierce College to go in there and get the jab. And the paramedics were called for somebody. It's like, wait a minute. And they said, don't get in your car and drive right away. Just sit here for a while. Let's see if you're one of those people that win the lottery and keel over.
Mm. Yeah, remember the little 15-minute chairs?
Yeah.
That was, originally they'd give the shot and, you could walk out. Then they said, okay, you have to wait 15 minutes after you get it. And, at the time, I was working as a dispatcher for the department. And I can't even tell you how many calls that I would receive where people had pulled over on the freeway and they were having adverse effects and so on. When you're taking calls all day long, answering 911 calls and talking to people, you notice when things are different. You notice an increase in certain medical problems and so on and so forth. And it was just, it was staggering, and that was.
That's why they pulled you. You were counting, taking notes.
You knew too much.
Yeah, the man who knew too much.
Too much. Mm-hmm.
Well, and what's amazing too is in the fire service, our the number 1, 2, and 3 cause of death are heart attack, cancer, and stroke, and all three of those are linked to these shots. So when we already have a high instance of that happening to us in the fire service, why would we be mandating a shot that's going to increase that as well? We go from, doing whatever we're doing to all of a sudden, being in a fire and strenuous work and so on and so forth. It's no different than an athlete at times.
What I think is even crazier is you have like Canada with cases unknown is like the number one cause of death, unknown case. And yet no one really wants
to
dig in.
I think you mean sudden coincidence syndrome.
Something
right?
of that nature, yeah.
Well, but wait a minute. Let's talk about all the autopsies they've done with coagulated blood where they can't embalm them because right. the embalming fluid won't go through the veins because they can't get the vein. I mean, I don't mean to be grotesque, but that's what they do. They clean the liquid out of your veins so that they can embalm you. And they can't even get that done because the coagulation of blood... And they're saying this is something they've never seen
before. Never seen. Mm-hmm.
Well, the videos are shocking. If you look for it, you'll find it.
Go ahead, John.
They had that documentary that came out called Died Suddenly. And, I mean, everybody should watch that. It's mind-boggling. It deals with pathologists and morticians. You know, and one of the doctors that I deal with, Dr. Paul Ryan, he's a pathologist out of Idaho and extremely smart individual. I mean, just a genius. And, I mean, he's pulling clots out of people that are 3 to 6 feet long. I mean, we've never seen anything like this.
And yeah, they look like alien, structures. Yeah. And we were mentioning before that Dr. McCullough was saying he theorizes that these are developing postmortem in the coagulated right. blood full of the spike protein. John, that's exactly the film in which they are saying, in all my career, I've never seen this before. So it is astonishing.
Yeah. And they haven't. You know, I mean, I talked to McCulloch and Malone and all those doctors, and, you know, what they're seeing is mind-boggling. And you mentioned something earlier about, you know, the military. And, you know, that's really one of the healthiest segments of the population when you look at military-age men, 18 to, you know, 40. And they said they're having a hard time getting people to sign up because of that, so they rescinded it. Well, what they came out with as well, and now they've buried, is the DMED reports. And those are all of the reports that study all-cause mortality in the military. And in the first year of the shots coming out, it went up 1,100%. And the second year, which they're projecting right now, they're looking at a 5,500% increase in all-cause mortality in 18 to 40-year-olds. I mean, that's unheard of.
And, you know, birth rates, they were talking about birth rates last year, down 20%.
Birth rates
are going to drop even further.
And mortality is up. And, John, back up for a second, because all-cause mortality is talking about people who've died from any cause. And we're seeing an uptick in that globally, just around the world,
yes.
where you're seeing all-cause mortality. You're hearing it from the insurance agents as well, who are testifying. Same thing.
I kind of wonder. Mm-hmm. I have a theory on this. Just wait. In about 2 years, life insurance is going to be extremely expensive for those vaccinated versus those not vaccinated.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I say that seriously.
That wouldn't be equitable.
That's right.
Well, it may not be equitable, but insurance companies aren't equitable.
So you're going to have to help pay for that.
That's right. Especially people of color who have been forced into getting it in order, and, you know, you got to pay your dues. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yep. And then all those privileged, entitled people who didn't take the shot.
But I have to say, though, you know, John, you talk about Dr. McCullough and all the people that you've gotten to talk to. We're sitting in a room of average people. You were an average gentleman.
I'm not average.
I was going to say, who are you calling, John?
Guys, all right, enough people. But here we were. We had basic jobs, you know, raising families, going to work every day, doing what we did. And all of us have come together by the pandemic and what has come across. Well, Don, mm-hmm. David, and I came together based on the fact I was running for office. And then you kind of, Jennifer, also. But when you think about the people that we now have access to, the people we talk to, and the phone calls that we can make that we never would have had access to had they not done the pandemic. And I don't think that's something that they ever counted on, was that people were going to start talking
and
people were going to connect, and people with an enormous reach would connect
And they were looking for the answer. Come on.
Well, no, no. But whoever.
But you're right. But
who would have ever thought that you would have gotten parents who would have gotten involved and started let them breathe.
The mom,
and look
you know,
what she's done.
Army,
But they've changed the courts. They've gone in and they've done remarkable things that they otherwise would have never done. And Mom Army is one of them. And if anyone's available on Sunday between 11 and 2 on January 29th, Mom Army Los Angeles is getting together if you want to join, and we'll talk about that next week, and maybe we'll even have Norma come on and talk about that.
Where are they getting together?
There, you have to contact them on Instagram, momarmy.la. I wasn't planning on and pitching that, but this is, again, another thing that's happened. So if you go onto Instagram or Facebook, you see the connections. And, you know, like you did, John, you never would have started Firefighters for Freedom. That well, there was 12 of you that put, there were three of you that started it that got a board together with, what, 12 people? And you guys got activated. You got active, and you guys have raised a lot of money. You were able to help the initial firefighters that originally lost their jobs or that were off. And these are things I think that never would have happened had we not had the pandemic. We're so busy talking about all the negative of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I think we really need to step up and say, but what about all the positive things that have happened? The number of people that we've gotten to do. And look at how many parents are homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. The boom in
the
homeschooling.
The boom in homeschooling is unbelievable.
Uh-huh. And as we know at the Capitol, the boom in the grassroots engagement. We have a lot of people paying a lot of attention up in Sacramento.
Well, that's because we're not woke. We're awake.
We're awake.
We're awake. And, you know, there's...
Go ahead, John. What were you going to say?
Oh, that's right. I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. You know, and for me, traveling across the U.S. and speaking at all these different events that I have, it's one thing that I've really noticed and I try to bring to the table when I speak is that there is good, like you said, that has come out of this pandemic. Sure, there's a lot of bad, and there's still a lot of bad to come, unfortunately. And we're starting to see that now. But the good that has come out of that is Americans, especially Americans that were born here in the United States, are born into freedom, and they don't recognize what it is they have. And I've spoken, you know, working for the city of Los Angeles is amazing, you know, because of all the immigrants. And when you speak to people that come from places that have oppression, they really understand the true meaning of freedom. And what this has done has shown truly how government can literally step in and take that freedom away from you if you don't stand up. And it's really engaged citizens. And so I really want people to understand that, hey, you know, no one's coming to save you except for you.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, no one is coming.
But you know, John, you look at our first guest. We had Michael Wilkerson on, who wrote Why America Matters, The Case for a New Exceptionalism. And so these are the things the pandemic's brought up. You've got a gentleman who never really thought about writing a book or anything like that. And we didn't really get to ask him whether he was where he stood on the political grounds. But now all of a sudden he's writing this book. And I think that's something we've seen a lot of. You've got Dr. Croner that came out, and she's been fighting the fight, and she's actually been in Washington. She's been invited in Washington. She's met congressmen and senators. Mm-hmm. And so we've got average people, just people that went to work every day that had jobs, normal people that are doing exceptional things as a result of what the government did. And I think that's the byproduct that they never thought would ever happen. Never. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the important thing, too, is people need to understand that that's what this country was founded on, was citizens being engaged. And, you know, it's been said by Thomas Jefferson that an unengaged citizenry, you know, you're going to lose the country. I'm just paraphrasing, but, you know, this has really brought people together. I mean, when the moms, like you said, Mom Army and all these
Dad Army,
Moms for Liberty.
Let them breathe.
Yeah.
Let them breathe.
Yeah, let them breathe. All of them, you know, they've united to help save these kids, you know, and engagement in public schools is super important because of all of the, you know, critical race theory and everything that's going on right now is absolutely bananas. And it only gets that way when the citizens disengage.
Well, but let's see, but
and watch Dancing with the Stars.
Right. But you know what, John, let's talk about this for a second, because before the pandemic, parents didn't have a clue what was going on in schools until they were at home with their kids on front of a screen. Then all of a sudden they found out, oh my goodness, they're teaching our kids about transgender. They're teaching our kids about, you know, all the other things, because I don't have kids. What were your kids? The critical race theory.
Critical race theory.
And, I mean, parents had no idea this was going on, but the pandemic changed and opened up eyes that nobody had a clue. And
yet
the schools,
yet they still keep voting for the same people that are doing it to them.
That's what's so crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't understand.
Well, but you know, in New York, though, New York was just like, yeah, we're done with this.
Yeah, New York is, but we're not in California.
I don't know. I wouldn't say New York is done with this, though. They're getting good rulings, but New York, in fact, from a vaccine standpoint, they've been awful. They were worse in California. In New York, you had to sit for this crazy inquisition if you dared to have a religious exemption to vaccines. They were awful. I'm happy to see these rulings coming out of New York, because they've just been...
But, I mean, the last election cycle is what I'm kind of referring to, is it showed... I mean, they were surprised at how many seats were lost in New York. And in California, I mean, it wasn't as dramatic. But in New York, it was much more obvious. And I think that's kind of the political norm, I think, for, you know, being progressive right now is, I don't know, it seems like it's kind of calmed down a bit. But who knows? I mean, it happened so fast. It was really like what was that movie with the fire movie? Backdraft?
Ron Howard.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, here Fox News on Instagram just posted an hour ago, the national park is reinstating indoor mask mandates, and they've shut down their commenting.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Of course they would.
They've shut down their commenting.
They shut down commenting on everything, you know?
And just like L.A. County, you know, Barbara Ferrer, they shut down the comments on the official L.A. County Twitter site.
Which they're not supposed to.
Of course not. It's public comment. But you know what they did? We had another Twitter person come on and create an account to talk about the things that L.A. County was doing. And you could comment, right? And at that time, that was pre-Elon, they shut it down.
They shut that down. Oh, my
yeah, but that
goodness.
Was pre-Elon, right? Oh. So well, now so everything's free
well,
on Twitter.
So different than you go to a city council meeting and they give you, you know, 30 seconds to a minute to talk.
Yeah.
And then they shut it down. You should be able to express your opinion. They're public sector servants, and we elect them to listen to what we, the people, want. And when those people start shutting you down and censoring you and telling you to be quiet – you know, we don't have a democratic republic anymore.
That's right. And John, you're exactly right. And that's the same thing that we see up in Sacramento with the way they are limiting public testimony now. Mm-hmm. They have just a couple people who can speak in favor.
Somebody has to protect the public against disinformation.
David is always coming up with the,
come on. You have all these rogue doctors that are just, you know, passing out
somebody
all of this.
Somebody pulled his mic.
Well, I mean, yeah, right. So, and here's something else that I just found on Fox News.
How dare they know more about your health than the government?
Dr. Lena Wen slammed after admitting there's been overcounting of COVID deaths 2.5 years late. So, you know, it's interesting that you have all these things coming out. The CNN medical analyst and Washington Post columnist, Dr. Lena Wen, admitted in a column Friday that the medical community is overcounting the amount. So you have this doctor on a woke channel saying,
wait a minute.
That was
CNN, right?
That's CNN.
Oh,
that's,
and of course, she was one of the biggest ones.
She was
one
of the biggest
out
proponents.
There. Yes.
You put your mask on.
Exactly.
Wear 8 of them because we're all dying if you don't. And now here she is coming out. And I think that's what I find most fascinating. Is
are we saying overcounted the deaths?
The COVID deaths. You know, like the with or from type, the gunshot.
Where did they get their numbers from?
Well, so what was happening is you came in the hospital and your immune system's down for whatever reason. You got shot, you had a cold, whatever it is, and you contract COVID. Or if you had been given the vaccine, you would have had the antibody, which would have shown up in a COVID test, and you died with it, and all of a sudden you died from COVID.
So my whole thing is, aren't they billing like the government for these deaths, right?
Of course.
So the overcounting ultimately is motivated from...
Greed.
Funding.
So
isn't much of this motivated by funding, right?
Big
pharma. But are the hospitals going to have to give that money back when they find out that they listed it wrongfully?
I mean, if it was Medicare or Medi-Cal, they would.
What's that, John?
The city of Los Angeles got $1.9 billion in COVID relief funds from the COVID Relief Act.
It was a race to count the numbers
that
and get
outrageous.
As much funds as possible. No wonder they were so competitive.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Terrible.
And part of that, you know, was that they had to have, when you look at the, in that COVID relief bill, part of the thing was that they had to have a, you know, 100% vaccinated, a fully vaccinated workforce, or they had to pay the money back.
That's right.
And so, thus, you got caught in the crosshairs, John.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and that's big government and big pharma, obviously, still the same stinking problem. It's always a disservice to the public, to the community. And here we saw it. I mean, now you have Pfizer executives kind of backtracking. Well, you know, how much did we know? How much did we not know?
Plausible deniability.
Did we talk to Twitter to make them, you know, erase some things or promote certain things?
Yeah, but you know what? We still have the same problem. You have 1,600 affected professional athletes, 1,100 dead professional athletes with no recourse. So even if they come back and they say, oh, yeah, you know, hey, we were wrong. All these people died from the COVID-19 vaccine. Oh, well, no big deal. No one can go and sue Big Pharma and say, hey, wait a minute.
They can only go through the PREP Act right now and get a little bit of compensation.
I want a business that has all the
benefits
and none of the liability.
No accountability, no liability, but you can do whatever you want. How nice that would be.
About that.
Huh?
Is that, you know, what's interesting about that, what you said, you know, the no liability, that's the reason, the main reason they're pushing to get this on the childhood vaccine schedule.
Exactly.
Because once something is on the childhood vaccine schedule, it literally takes all liability for anything away from the pharmaceuticals. Now, if it doesn't get on there, guess what? When it comes off of EUA, then they can be held liable. And all of these things are still under emergency use authorization.
That's exactly right.
If you read the Emergency Use Authorization Act, it specifically states in there that whoever's giving you that shot needs to give you informed consent. That means they have to tell you the pros and the cons, side effects and everything, up to and including death with that. And they have to give you the option to opt out because it's enrolling you in a clinical trial because it's still under emergency. So they cannot mandate it. That's
no, they
what people don't understand.
And that's another thing, John, about informed consent. The package inserts with all the teeny tiny, you know, 6-point fonts that contain all the possible adverse reactions and everything.
Blank?
They're blank. They are blank for these shots. Where is the informed consent? It ain't there.
Did you need a black light to read it?
Yeah, no, you need a magnifying glass to read it.
All right, John, you know, thank you so much. We want to check back with you, hear the results of this week's coming Board of Rights and to see how we can keep supporting you. We just posted Firefighters for Freedom website on our live stream so people can go there, people can contribute, and, get in contact with
you. Oh, and let's
you.
Put Roll Call for Freedom as well. We'll
right.
put that up.
Yep, we'll
yep.
call for freedom. So
put them up there.
Yep. Thank you, John.
Bye, John.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. You guys have a fantastic
day. Yeah,
weekend.
Get well so the next time you're on, you can come in.
I will. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
And, yeah, I'll go ahead and put that on right under Firefighters
for
Freedom.
So, yeah, so, you know, listen, if you guys want to be informed, you need to go and purchase the book at, let's see, it is whyamericamatters.com. Go pick that book up and read
Michael
it.
Michael Wilkerson.
Michael Wilkerson. And we will have him back on because he's an interesting man. And definitely donate, even if it's $5. Look, we all know inflation, it's tight. Eggs are $8 if you can find them. But, you know, $5 because it does affect you. We are short on firefighters. We are short on police officers. And people are not running and rushing to sign up.
No, and you know, we have to remember, these are our public servants who literally put their lives on the line, as
actually,
we have seen.
You say that because we just lost
another
officer in Riverside.
Riverside County deputy, two officers down, lost in the span of just 1 month or less.
16
days, and Riverside has not lost officers in 10 years.
10 years, exactly.
So, suddenly, you know, and then you got this crazy guy wielding a pipe who's beating up on people that they haven't caught yet. So, you know, we need to work on that. But, yeah, so there's a sheriff deputy shot and killed near Lake Elsinore.
That was Deputy Calhoun.
Yeah. Becoming the second to die in the line of duty in the past 16 days after the department went almost two decades without any on-duty slayings of deputies. Deputy Darnell Calhoun, 30, was shot at about 4:30 p.m. At a development with a single-family home.
Yeah,
in the 4:30,
he's in a residential neighborhood, domestic violence.
It was in Lakewood Village near the city's namesake. So, you know, these are the things that are going on. When I'm the daughter of a police officer, and when these men and women show up in their uniforms to protect you, either it's a bad decision you've made or it's you're the victim of a bad decision, whether it's a car accident or whatever it is, they're coming to help you, and they're putting their life on the line.
And this is our time to help them. That's the thing. They stand for us. We stand for them now.
Yeah. So that's my story on the police officers. And, you know, we can only hope the best for them. And pretty soon we're going to have Alex Villanueva on.
Well, and yeah, because we have not seen the last of
Alex Villanueva. He's very excited to come on. So I'm working on when I'm going to get him on. But, you know, he's got a lot going on. Right now, he's actually celebrating his wife's birthday. So happy birthday, Vivian, if you guys are listening.
Yep, happy birthday.
And
it was interesting because...
Hold that thought, David. Our music is coming on.
I can hear it.
It's catchy.
Yep. So we'll be right back for the Don Carlos segment. And you're on AM 870 The Answer.
You got it. And we're back. It's Saturday night, and we're very privileged and honored to be sitting here in front of some live microphones. You know, Jeffy, you know, we talked about all the different people that have gotten involved, and we've been fortunate enough to have a wonderful sponsor, the CNM Meadows family, and that we want to bring you now directly from... We're having a candlelight meeting in here, and
I was like, "Where'd the lights go?"
There's Mr. Don Monroe himself.
Howdy,
welcome,
howdy.
Don.
Hey, how are you doing this evening? I know I've been here since the beginning of the show, but
that's right.
You should be here all the time at the beginning of the show.
Well, you know what? It sometimes it works, but I feel like, you know, I don't know. It's not like a TV program. You know, you can kind of see what people's, you know, facial expressions and stuff is going on. When you have, like, it feels like sometimes eight voices are on the mics. But, I mean, we know each other's voices, and I know our listeners do as well, so it's probably not too much brain damage. But, you know, hey, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff, like we talked about today, a lot of, I guess we're just kind of looking at the silver lining, you know, over the last 2-3 years with COVID with you know, policy, and some of it's, you know, still a fight, and some of it, you know, I think pretty much that's life anyway. You know, you just got to show up, come to work, you know, not let the bully take your lunch.
Yep.
Or your lunch money. And right now, that's kind of what it's feeling like. David handed over to me here, the LA City Council divided on how they're going to avert a rental eviction in the LA mayor, if the LA moratorium were to end, which I think they voted twice already end it. I think that, no one wants to see more homelessness going out in the streets. And then you had Governor Newsom claiming or getting everybody together saying you're not going to get your state funding if you don't clean up these streets. Don't we have an Olympics or something coming?
And the World Cup. The World Cup is coming in 2026, and the Olympics are coming in 2028. So we got a lot going on. And in the meantime, if the mayor comes out, they move the homeless somewhere else. If the president comes out, they move the homeless somewhere else. The problem is, where are they shifting them to, and what are they going to do about it? Well, and back to your question that you started with the moratorium for rent. I'm sorry. I see jobs needed, help wanted everywhere. There's no excuse that people can't get back to work to pay their rent because right. I see it all the time. So why people can't pay their rent, I don't know.
Well, you know, the turnover of staff members, I mean, even in the food franchising business has been pretty high. And the wages have gone up substantially to the point where it's like, I think we had one of our shows, we were talking about how some of the millennials were making more than their parents who were working, you know, a real, a profession with the college education and everything, working on these in these entry-level positions. And because they figured out that if they worked in a place long enough and then quit, they'd get called back to say, hey, look, we might offer you a few bucks more if you come back. And so on average, millennials were making some of them were making actually above $20 an hour. So when you consider that, you know, all the taxes that go with that, Social Security, et cetera.
Workers' comp.
Workers' comp. All those things play into the system that exists.
Well, you know, Don and Jeffy, over was at Ventura Boulevard, close to, I think, I want to say maybe DeSoto, they opened up a brand new IHOP last year. I mean, it had been shut down, but I mean, it was that they just they spent a ton of money rehabbing it, and it looked really great. It closed last week.
Norms and Encino closed Sunday. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. No, Norms and
you're
Encino.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Norms and Encino, they took 2 years to build it because of the COVID and all the other stuff that was going on. And they built it. They've had, apparently there's a problem with the landlord and the rent situation. They couldn't rectify the rent issue probably due to COVID. And so here you go. You have that same
they
issue
closed,
going on.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that a lot of the folks out here, small business owners especially, who have had to basically compete with their super competitor, which is, you know, like say Amazon.
Right.
Like Office Depot, it's all over LA. We're closing or have been closing down.
Same really? With Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah. Bed Bath & Beyond. And so it's it's quite the what people don't realize too, you know, when Jeff Bezos was promoting, yeah, we should raise minimum wage, you know, we should, you know, keep on, yeah, I want to, you know, it wasn't really to help out society. It was really easy. He knew what was hurting small business, and he knew what was hurting the mom and pop shops, and so he promoted something that a conglomerate that is has the tools and resources for global, maybe even the aspirations for global dominance in the supply chain of finished products.
Well, but what's interesting is they just opened an Amazon Go in right on the corner of Topanga and Ventura, and it is getting horrendous reviews. There was our Valley paper just did a review on that. They go, do not go to Amazon Go.
Now, what is Amazon Go?
Well, that's what's interesting. So
it's Amazon No.
It's Amazon No, don't go.
Well, what is it? Is it a market?
So they said it's a glorified 7-Eleven that's overpriced with empty shelves and crappy food. And that people are confused. The idea is that you walk in, and as you walk out, you just scan your phone or whatever. And it's like there's supposed to be no people in it. It's supposed to be easy. But there's nobody in it. It's very expensive. And the prices are more expensive than Ralph's across the street. So, they're making – yeah, that's Don just gave me a funny look on his face. But that's the reviews on that. And they don't understand why they opened it, because there's an Amazon Fresh – a mile away. And so Amazon started doing all these weird things.
Because they're rich. They could do what they want to do.
Yeah. But apparently they don't pay taxes because they're losing
beta.
Money.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not entirely sure on that one. But, you know, and we never – it's interesting, you know, this whole renter's issue, because what people fail also to consider is that, you know – it's always kind of painted in this kind of, oh, the people, the haves are stepping on the have-nots.
Right.
And, you know, in some cases, I mean, there are some very intelligent people who rent that they understand that there are times when in the market where it actually is better to rent. But they have aspirations to be owners at some point. And so when it makes better sense to be owners than renters, then they make that change. Having our government, you know, get involved and, you know, try to save another problem here. I don't know. It just seems like they're pretty good at messing these types of things up. I think they need to kind of take a step back and see the, you know, let nature take its course, so to speak, and see how this goes.
But what about the landlords? I mean, that's the thing that nobody's talking about.
But that's what I'm getting at, is that there are plenty of people who at some point became owners, and that includes Black Americans, Native Americans, that includes Hispanics, that includes all kind of folks who were, you know, when they were going around asking, like, what's part of, you know, building this American dream? And many people might say it's that financial freedom or in creating some sort of residual income or positive cash flow in their lives where they don't have to be a slave to working a 9-to-5 or whatever, you know, they want to call their chains when they feel like they're being overworked. But, you know, that's the whole deal is that now what we're saying here by saying, hey, we're going to pick tenants over renters is that, yeah, now we're going to start picking the winners and losers. And we're going to go ahead and tap into those that have, and they're going to have to bear that cross. You know, they're going to have to bear that burden. And, you know, it definitely doesn't sound American at all.
Well, but, you know, here they said, oh, tenants don't have to pay their rent, but it was residential tenants. They didn't do anything for the business owners. And had the business owners been able to get back on their feet after COVID and have that relief and get government funding in order to pay the landlords of the commercial buildings, maybe you'd have more people in apartment buildings that would be able to pay their rent, because a lot of business owners don't necessarily own homes. But the other problem that they're doing now is now they're trying to change the rules so that a landlord will no longer be able to ask, are you a criminal? They won't be able to ask for your credit check. That's the next thing that's coming down the line. So instead of having people get thrown out, they're going to be able to put anybody in a unit because you will no longer be able to check their credit and find out whether or not they're going to be a viable tenant.
You will not know who lives next door.
You will not know who you're putting in your building. Imagine that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and landlords will wash their hands of, you know, putting in some pretty horrible individuals into their units too. It's like, well, I'm legally not authorized to ask these questions. Mm-hmm. Don't have that authority. But yeah, I'm curious to see how it looks. From the reading here, it looked like they've already voted twice on this, and it seems kind of overwhelming that the city's kind of not continuing this kind of emergency. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, when you get close to that deadline, it's January 30th, I think.
Yeah, January 31st. And then what they've done is they've given tenants, especially ones that haven't paid their rent since February of 2021, up until next month, they have until 2024 to get caught up. So what happens if they wait till 2024 and say, well, can't get caught up, so I'm not going to pay any of that, but they'll have to start paying their current rent. But it's going to be kind of difficult for them to do that.
Mm. Well, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars here. We're not – rent in L.A. isn't $500 a month. So we're talking these people at $1,500
a
month times
– for a year.
For 24 years. Months if it's 2 years or 12 months. I mean, you're talking
– So there has to be a bailout.
Yeah.
The city's going to have to set up a program to help
How about no property taxes?
On the landlords?
Yeah, if the government the government's not helping in any way, shape, or form protect their property.
Well, I have clients that are landlords. They've had to go out and fix their buildings. They've had people that have created horrible damage to their buildings that they've had to pay for. I've had clients that own homes that they rent out for rental for income that they live on, and they've had their houses trashed, $35,000 in damage. And these people haven't had to pay. They get up, they leave, they go, well, I haven't paid you in 2 years, and I don't care, and I'm leaving, and left you with $35,000 in damage.
Such a mess. You slumlord.
Some of those people are very capable of paying their rent.
Yes.
And decided not to. And we're not just talking about, you know, poor people. We're talking about affluent, high-earning people that make six figures that decided, hey, why should I pay the rent?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's unfortunate. Now, we're – you know, there is, an organization called the Minority Apartment Owners Association in South Los Angeles. And Malcolm Bennett is the head of that organization. And I've spoken there a couple of times. And most of the apartment owners, you know, these are small mom and pop, you know, four unit, you know, duplexes and stuff. And most of them are either black or brown. And, you know, when I talked to them, they just would tell me, you know, David, nobody cares about us.
Yeah.
They think we're all rich, and you know, they don't realize we're living from, you know, the rent to rent and having to cover all of the costs that, and all of the things that keep going up. I mean, it's raining out right now. I mean, this is kind of like the causes the most sleepless nights for housing providers. It's raining out. Am I going to get a phone call?
This isn't rain. This is like a waterfall.
Well, I mean, you've also got that. But what about the fact that they just implemented a law, the millionaire's seller law, that if you sell a property over, and you know about that
Don. Yeah, but no. If you have a property that is over a certain dollar amount, I believe
I think it's $5 million.
I think it was four. And you're going to have to pay some sort of a luxury tax for
1.8%.
And it's no longer, you know, the same percentage that was protected under Prop 13, essentially, of raising your taxes. Other things that people are probably not knowledgeable about is over the last couple years, we've had also for environmental, you know, objectives. The county was sued for, you know, not complying with the Clean Water Act. And so there was a lot of people that I know in big industry that have large properties that thought maybe we should come and sit down with the LA County Board of Supervisors and help them with this project of, you know, how they were going to tax for this. I think the motivation was that the large landowners who had huge parcels could potentially just kind of spread it on to everybody else, also meaning residential as well, and not be the biggest burdener of having to help pay for that. But you know, it was negotiated with the LA County Board of Supervisors that they were all going to once it was passed that they were going to all sit down and go over creating the package of how it's all going to function and work. Every one of my friends and everybody else who was part of that whole helping to guide them through that process was basically locked outside that door. The LA County Board of Supervisors decided they were going to figure it out all by themselves. So this is actually a tax on your property that has no sunset. And the idea is that they're going to build filtration systems all throughout the whole county to capture water and infiltrate it back into, I guess, drinking water. Again, always sounds really great until you kind of peel the onion back and you get into the nitty-gritty. One of the things that we haven't spoken to too much recently, and we always have Leonard come on and kind of give us the update, but one of the things that we touched on a little bit was that, you know, the recyclers right now that do can and bottle recycling are still having they're going to have a tough time, rather, for this year, because all of a sudden a lot of the processing payments for doing the business, we talked about it, I think it might have been last week.
It was last week.
We've had a lot of recyclers kind of reach out to their legislators and tell them, hey, this is going to be detrimental. We're probably not going to be able to stay in business. I'm not exactly, we're not really sure yet if it's resonating with the legislators. So sometimes it takes our listeners and other folks who do recycle to also say, hey, I need to, save my recycler. I go here every weekend, or I go here every month, whatever.
How can they do that, though?
Well, I mean, we have the Find Your Legislator link, so you type in your address so you can find your legislator. You have to know who to be talking to, number one.
Right.
Because you go out there, and call someone, you're not even from their district. They're kind of like, oh.
Okay. Actually, if you don't put your address in, they will not let you send an email to a legislator that's not yours.
There you go. See? So that's
so you have to know who you're sending your legislation stuff to.
So they're already weeding you out.
Yep,
they're becoming effective in their abilities to say, well, you sent it to the wrong place. But I'd hate to see there's winners and losers in every type of decision. And I'm not quite sure what the end game is, other than if you lose your recyclers and you're still consuming your beverages through your beverage containers, cans, plastic, glass bottles, whatever, then it's now turning more and more into a tax at that point, because if you don't have a place to redeem it, which was the whole CRV concept, the California Redemption Value, you create such burden to collect it. I mean, how many hoops and loops do you want to flips do you have to do to get it?
Right.
You know, and at some point, you're just like, throw it in the trash.
Because I think people are now used to paying it.
It's it's like the whole frogs and the pot kind of philosophy. But, you know, or also not that they're just used to it, but that they've become a little bit kind of numb. Maybe just, you know, there's always this feel-good element tied. And, you know, whether they're recycling it themselves or redeeming it or they're paying into it, they feel like it's going to a good cause.
Oh, yeah.
It's not
going to a good cause. It's a problem, though.
It's not. When you have hundreds of millions of dollars that are being accumulated, and that is the public's money, and then you don't have that – you don't have – the legislator fixing the problems that are happening within that program to make sure that people have access to recycling as nearby as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of, you know, I don't know. I don't know how there's not enough people out there kind of screaming and hollering about it. But again, they had the Berkeley study who kind of gave a picture of who are the people who are recycling, and that tends to be, people who are, you know, kind of just making ends meet, you know, supplementing their income because, you know, it's helping them cover some other costs that they need for their livelihood for, you know. So, I mean, you know, we do tend to take for granted, you know, people who were born in this country tend to take for granted that, you know, hey, you know, mom and dad maybe didn't have a TV or mom and dad didn't have the luxuries of taking weekend drives, or mom and dad didn't have. And I think because they're so busy, you know, feeding, they were too busy getting the things that you needed, like food,
right.
Clean water.
Well, but the state of California has done a great job in convincing people that the money for the recycling is going to good things. And I think that
they
convince the public that, your money is going to great things on recycling, when in fact it's not. And I think there's got to be a way that recyclers should be able to or could be able to start running advertising on social media stating, if you think your money is going to good things, it's not. There's getting the message out on behalf of recyclers, I think, would be a great benefit to let people know that money isn't going to good things.
Mm. Well, I mean...
I don't know how you can go about that, but
yeah. Well, I mean, it's like everything. It's like big pharma too. You know, when you have like kind of an unlimited amount of money, and some of that money is coming from the federal government to advertise against your own good, your own better judgment. You know, you're just like, wait, they make it sound so official, but like, and brought to you by in partnership with, you know, blah 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 blah. You know, some 3-letter agency, and it just sounds like, oh crap. You know, I don't know. I mean, I just well, should I say? I do know, but it's sometimes so horrid and disgusting that it's just like, wow. You know, and I know people out there who are doing their best to recycle and do best for the world. Because, look, conservatives conserve, you know.
Right.
We're all about conserving. We're all about not wasting. Shoot, Mom, there's not a – you know, my daughter's here, and she'll tell you that, you know, if there's a light left on in the house – they mysteriously turn off, and it's not because of motion. It's not motion. It is motion. It's grandma's motion who runs by and shuts these lights off. Nobody in the room. Lights off.
Is that faucet on, or are you washing your hands? Turn it off.
Exactly. Or that's too much water. So she's starting to sound like this, like the people in this.
She obviously hasn't gotten the gas bill yet.
In Sacramento.
Pretty soon you're going to be freezing in your house because the gas bill's so high.
My heater had an issue during December. So we like to be toasty, and for some reason the gas would just turn off. It was magic. Or a spirit that's just out there saying, hey, you just don't know what's coming. It's called the gas bill. Something there helped us a little bit, right? My daughter's looking at me like, should I say something? But
you got a live mic. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to see how things go. I think we're going to have an emergency for recyclers where they're just going to have to close shop. Or you're going to get those people who need to kind of cut, their costs even more.
Mm-hmm.
And what really changed that was that, you know, they use a formula based on, you know, volumes that are coming in and their cost of processing materials. And like Leonard had mentioned, we had a conglomerate in this state, which was called Replanet, and they
right,
were
I remember that.
they had a kind of it was kind of like a real nice partnership, you know, and you know, government sometimes loves it when they have this big giant conglomerate because they want to use that as their kind of pinnacle of success.
Yeah, those are the ones that were outside the markets.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of them out. There's a lot of different ones. There's a lot of mom and pops, but the ones that yes, you saw a lot of the Replanet ones that were outside of them. And they had hundreds of locations throughout the state of California, but they bellied up. And every time that they were kind of struggling, they'd go back and try to create some sort of legislation that would help them, basically gain some sort of, extra fee or some extra money from the slush fund. And it didn't happen. Three or four years ago, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, they're bellied up, and you know all their equipment and stuff was sold off to other smaller mom and pops that needed equipment to grow because they were going to have to, you know, fulfill this new demand. And ironically, you know, some of those locations that were the mom and pops that stuck around, just to tell you how crazy and psychotic this is. What happens if your neighbor closes down? What happens to your business? What usually happens?
Your business slows down because there's nobody next door to you to go visit that business.
No, hold on. Your competitor just closed down.
Your business expands. You get more.
You get more business.
You get their customers.
So what they have is an algorithm within their system that says if your business spikes and goes up, it's likely that it's fraud.
Now you
have common sense and you see things from what it. My daughter's laughing because she realizes, even she gets it right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like. Wow, and this is what the mom and pops in the state of California, many of them minorities, and I mean minorities, I mean from Hispanics to Persians to Iranians. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's everybody who comes like, man, what could I do? They want to do something of value and something that they can, you know, bring
Speech
in some money and
with
take.
The aluminum cans.
Well, yeah, right. follow the white brick road or something, right? The white metals. No, but that's to discuss the aspect of it is that, you know, even when. You think it's a win for the small mom and pops that the conglomerate who's basically sucking this, you know, this whole system, a leech to the system, dies and goes out of existence. You think that they should benefit, and now there's going to be market share for them to grow and do more recycling? No,
then they get penalized.
No, they get penalized. So this is not.
It ends up costing them money,
and it costs all of us. So anyway, with that.
There's the music.
There it is. And all so right. Everybody have a good night.
Thank you, Don.
Stay as dry as you possibly can. If there's leaks going on, get plenty of buckets.
Yep. bucket in some Henrys. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Sal. Thank you, ladies. Jennifer, thank you. Michael Wilkinson, John Knox, Jeffy, drive home safe. And we'll be back next week, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.